I'm Alice Living. I'm based in Fulham. I am a personal trainer and 3 times best-selling author. I believe that in life you don't experience failures, only learn lessons. And I believe the key to happiness is self-love.
What were you like at school growing up?
I think I was, looking back, I think it's much easier to look back and think about how I was. And I definitely was the kind of person that was a bit of a sheep. You know, I always wanted to be, I really wanted to be in the popular crowd. So I made sure that when I moved schools and went to secondary school that I was, trying to be friends with all the girls that seemed to be in the popular crowd. And actually, I regret that now, but at the time it was, you know, what I aspired to achieve. I was quite hardworking though, and I really enjoyed my time at school. Like, I didn't have a bad school experience. I had a really good time. I had good friends. I worked hard and, you know, I had a good school experience.
And sort of physically, did you struggle with any sort of body confidence issues or...?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think as with any teenage girl, you go through changes through puberty and stuff, and some people deal with it better. I had horrendous periods, so I really struggled with that, in that I found I was really different from my friends because no one else seemed to have the same thing as me. And I found that definitely through my sort of teenage puberty time, so between 14 and 16 to 18, my weight fluctuated a lot. And I found that I was, becoming quite self-conscious of that. And I, at that point, it definitely when I got to sort of the age of 15, 16, started to look at diets and use diets as a way of managing my weight, but in all the wrong ways.
Is that... is it because you were eating badly that you felt sort of insecure about the way you ate?
No, I don't think I necessarily acknowledged the fact that I ate badly. I just realised that I ate a lot more than my friends, and I wasn't able to do that without gaining weight. And it seemed as though I was friends with a lot of sporty girls, and I wasn't really on any sports teams.
Really? So,
I wasn't sporty at all. I loved to sing, I loved to act, I loved to dance, but I wasn't sporty. And so I didn't really do much physical exercise during the week. So I probably ate a little bit too much for my lack of activity.
Do you remember the kind of things you used to think when looking in the mirror around that time?
I think as with any young girl, you know, I criticised every part of me. I was too small because I've always been really small. I'm 5'1", so that meant that my legs are really short, and I hated the fact that I got boobs before any of my friends. And so I felt like they were huge in comparison to everyone else, but they weren't. Now they're, you know, very normal size, but at the time I was like, oh my God, they're huge. And I guess just all the things that you kind of, it's horrible. And I think what's really important as well is this is a time before social media really. I mean, it was Bebo and MySpace and stuff, but I still went through all of those things despite that. And I think to a certain extent, it's a part of growing up. I think a lot of people go through it, whether they speak about it or not. We all go through, as our body changes, those kind of real insecurities, and some people deal with them better than others. Mm-hmm. And I felt I was quite an externally confident person, but internally very inconfident
person. To be wanting to be an actress on stage, everyone's looking
and
at
I
you
have,
all the time.
And I had the absolute ability to turn it on, to be the showman, to stand on a stage and sing in front of hundreds of people. And I had no problem in doing that. But I think that was a very good way of masking an internal lack of confidence. Mm. And it was a way of me being able to become something that was, a different reality to my everyday life.
Do you remember the day where you were just like, right, that's it, I need to change a few things?
I don't think it necessarily was a day. It was a prolonged period of undulating restriction and then binge eating and going between the two in a very disordered way that led to me feeling as though I had complete lack of control of my own, of my diet, of my lifestyle. And at this point, I was at university, I was studying to be a performer in musical theatre. I had aspirations of being on the West End stage, and I very soon realised that it was a very aesthetically driven industry, and you know, not having a healthy body was going to be probably detrimental to my career. Mm. So as I gained a lot of weight through my first year of university, as so many people do. As so many people do. Like, I'm not saying that I was anything out of the ordinary, and I'm not saying that my story is in any way different to anyone else, but I just found that I was really struggling with it. Mm. And it was getting to the point where I was just doing really stupid things, like loads of takeaways, but then I would be the one that would go to the shop and get a tub of ice cream and go sit in my room and eat it. Like, I just developed this really weird way of eating that I feel was quite damaging. And I think it was not necessarily the actual food that I was eating, but it was the lack of control.
Mm.
And it's not now, you know, I don't now have a very controlled way of eating. You know, I have a very relaxed way of eating, but it's very different. I have a very much better understanding of what I need and don't need, rather than having just complete lack of control. Mm.
So how did the Instagram thing come about? How did that start?
So, yeah, like I said, I was in my when I started the Instagram, I was going into my second year of university. I'd just moved into a new flat with all of my friends. And so I was kind of in a place where I wasn't in halls anymore. I had a little bit more control over my diet. And before going to university, I'd never cooked for myself. My mum was an amazing cook. She'd always have food on the table for us. And so I never had the opportunity to try cooking. It was just sort of like, the food was put in front of us and that was it. So suddenly I had this opportunity to take matters into my own hands and to actually start cooking things myself. And I decided that I would use Instagram as a way of documenting my my way of eating, my new way of eating, that wasn't going to be a diet. And, you know, having previously said that I'd tried every diet under the sun by this point and yo-yoed with my weight a tremendous amount, now I was like, actually, I just want to try and eat well for a prolonged period of time. I don't want to work towards anything specific. I just want to feel better. And I guess it was about feeling better, more than looking a certain way. So I started to take pictures of the food that I was making, so my breakfast, my lunches, my dinners, and that's how it all started.
So it was just a visual food diary, basically.
Completely, yeah.
And it was private at the time.
Private, didn't want anyone to see it. It was just for myself as a way of documenting what I was doing.
Wow, so the goal was literally just for you. Actually, you've said before, it was sort of like a private journey. You just wanted to keep track of things.
And I think, now, even to this day, I never ever set out to be where I am.
Yeah.
I'm incredibly grateful for it. Yeah. And like, I never ever forget, you know, that I'm very lucky to be in the position that I am. But it wasn't something that I decided, you know, now there's so many people that want to be Insta famous and that want to have loads of followers.
Yeah,
and
do you ever just sit there and you look at your phone and you just think, this is so bizarre this has turned out this way?
It is, but I think I'm lucky in that I started very early on when that wasn't my ambition. Yeah. I didn't even realise things like that happened. I didn't even realise that you could have a career through social media or through using social media. So for me, it was just like an honest account of what I was doing and an honest and real person that was just trying to use social media as a way of journaling. And I think that's what social media initially was for. You know, it was your kind of private photo album of your favorite bits, and you would pick out things that you wanted to show. And that was genuinely what I was doing. You know, I wanted to keep myself motivated to eat in this way, and I found great pleasure out of making my meals suddenly look quite delicious and presenting them in a way that would be look good in a photograph. Sounds really silly, but it helped me to stay motivated for what I was doing. I looked forward to going doing my weekly shop so that I could think, oh, I can get this and this, and that would look great. And it just was really helpful for me.
How did it grow? How quickly did it grow? Before you reached, you know, 1,000 followers, 10,000 followers, you're now on 600,000 Instagram followers.
It really kind of spiraled, I guess. At that time, there were people like The Body Coach and Kayla Itzines and people like that were really coming up. And it was a lot easier to get a large following, I'll say that for sure. And you know, the platform was new, therefore loads of people were joining it, and there weren't as many people doing what I was doing, so you stood out instantly, whereas now there's so many people doing what I was doing. I guess we were lucky in that, like, when I started, it was still fairly new. I noticed my following after maybe 6 months just really start to ramp up, and people were really interested in what I was doing. And I guess that came along with my transformation photos, and as my physique started to change and my whole outlook started to change, and I really was, you know, still documenting daily what I was doing, people were really interested in that, in a genuine account of someone doing something and showing that it didn't take them 2 weeks to drop 2 stone. You know, this was 6 months plus. You know, and then now I say, you know, it's taken me 3 years to get to where I am now, and I'm still working at it, and I'm still in self-developing and stuff. So I think people really respect that side of it, instead of the kind of advertising that you're sold on all these kind of diets and books and all these sorts of things.
What are your views on social media?
I think it's a really, really positive tool if it's used in the right way.
Yeah.
But as with anything in life, you can abuse it. And I feel like it can be a very dangerous space for certain types of people. I feel like it can be very triggering for certain types of people. And I feel like we need to be responsible for our management and our use of social media, because it's not going away. So I feel like people that just write social media off as being, you know, it's awful, it's to blame for everything. It's like, well, that's not productive information, because it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to die a death, as people seem to hope that it will. So how do we manage expectations, and how do we put strategies in place in order to better deal with the side effects of this incredibly contrived space? So for me, that's a case of, I try and be very, very strict with when I'm on it.
I was going to say, do you have certain hours where you're...
not certain hours, but, you know, if I find myself sat there scrolling through social media, I really do give myself a telling off. I find, you know, being aware of how much time I'm spending on it, being very aware of profiles or photos that can make me feel insignificant, not insignificant, but that can question my own confidence. Like, I feel like I'm in a really, really good place now, but even I will still get the odd day where I'll see a photo of some girl looking amazing in a bikini, or, you know, we've all been there.
But how does that make you feel to know that you're that girl for so many girls? I woke up this morning and you were the first post I saw.
But I really, really try my hardest to not be that person. Mm. I don't want to be. Mm. I don't want people to look like me. I'm me.
No, it's really inspiring. It made me think, what am I doing in bed?
What I do and what my mission is to have a message. I have an ethos. I have something that I really, really believe in, beyond the fact that I just want people to look like me. And I think there's so many people out there now that build these social media profiles on the fact that, you know, they use anecdotal evidence of their own fitness or health journey, and people want to look like them. And it's like, that's fine, but, like, it's not healthy for the majority of people to want to aspire to look like someone.
Mm.
My belief is that I want to educate people to work out well. You know, I am a qualified personal trainer. I work my butt off doing that and educating myself so that the information that I put on social media is correct, is helpful, is encouraging people to move their bodies in a way that is going to be beneficial and going to be helpful to them, but not at the detriment of them thinking, God, I don't look like her, so I can't do this. You know, I try and make it as accessible as possible. And I think that's the big difference, is that I absolutely believe in the positive effects of exercise, and I think that's why I continue to do what I do. I think that it can be a massively empowering tool. I think it can make anyone feel amazing, and I think that we all should incorporate it into our lifestyles. And the, you know, the studies speak for themselves in terms of how it can affect your, or improve your health. But I'm not going to be that personal trainer that's going to, like, hopefully I give an aspirational story, but I want someone to come to me and create their own journey and think, I'm going to use that exercise to create my own best me, rather than trying to replicate what I've done.
Do you feel under a lot of pressure to be you, to keep this up?
Yes, honestly, sometimes. Because I think that social media wants you to be perfect all the time.
Yes.
Or sometimes, yeah, you feel as though you need to be. But recently, I have enjoyed letting my guard down. I think middle range of my journey, I wanted to be perfection. I wanted to have the best content. I wanted to show amazing photos. I wanted to, you know, do all of these things. And It's hard to keep that up.
Sounds so stressful.
It's hard to keep that up, and it's not. It doesn't make for a happy life, you know. Like, I think Insta stories are really good for me. I feel like I can chat and be myself and just show like what I'm doing. Mm. And if I'm busy, I don't do them. Mm. And if I'm not, I might have a little chat.
Mm.
I love doing like lives. I love showing like the actual me.
Yeah.
Because I think photos are so two-dimensional, and it's really difficult to understand the context with which they come in someone's life.
Mm.
So you pick up on like three perfect photos of a whole day where someone might have had a really shit morning, but then might have had an amazing brunch with friends. So it looks like they're having fun all the time, when actually that might not be the whole story. So I believe that, yes, it's difficult. It's also difficult because so many people are doing what I'm doing now, and you have to keep ahead of the game. You know, I've taken this on as my career, and therefore you have to work at it. But
you're really honest on your Instagram account. Like, I saw the other day you put a post that said 5 things to quit. Number 1, trying to please everyone.
Mm.
2, fearing change. 3, living in the past. 4, putting yourself down. And 5, overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
So the trying to please everyone thing really got to me.
Mm.
I just thought about, you know, I only have 600 Instagram followers. Mm. I can barely handle it. So I can only imagine what it's like being you on days where you just can't be bothered.
Mm.
Do you ever have those days?
Yeah, I do. I think
what motivates you, like, on those days?
I get amazing messages from people that have said to me, because of you, you know, I got up and went to the gym this morning, or I worked out and I feel great.
Mm.
Because of you, I started my day with this amazing breakfast. Or even just, you know, you've really motivated me to get up, get out of bed and feel happy today.
Mm.
And I find those very, very, very motivating. I've always wanted to help people. I've always been like that kind of person that wants to not please everyone, but I want everyone to be happy around me. I want to bring everyone up. Like, I don't like if someone's upset. God, that makes me feel awful.
Mm.
You know, even just earlier I was saying, like, I thought one of my clients was angry at me. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, it's the worst thing in the world. But I just like to have everyone happy around me. And I think through my social media, I've been able to help so many more people than I can in a one-to-one session in the gym. And that really, really helps motivate me. I find that a really honouring role, and I'm really lucky to be able to do it, and I think it's reminding myself of that.
Would you say you've reached your goals now? When you look in the mirror now, are you like, I'm banging, I got 12 abs?
No.
Are you still working on?
And I think, like, I believed that happiness came from aesthetic goals a while ago, 2 years ago. I think I had an impression that as I began to change my physique, that I was like, oh God, like, this is going to make me happy.
Mm.
But they don't. And you have to look inside yourself and realise what really, truly makes you happy. And that doesn't come from looking a certain way on the outside. It comes from inside.
Mm.
And I believe that now I'm never going to say I'm content. And I'm never going to say I'm going to sit back and I've made it, I'm happy.
Because
that's not the kind of person that I am. I'm always wanting to achieve more. But that doesn't ever come from an aesthetic place. Mm. It's, you know, I'm going to make sure that this month I read more, or that I'm going to research stuff, or that I'm going to try and see my friends more and have more of a like social life, or, you know, there's loads of different things. But I think the person that can sit back and say that they're genuinely content, it's momentary,
because
things happen, shit happens, life happens, and it's how you adapt and evolve and move with that makes you a stronger person.
Do you feel any responsibility towards women and young girls?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's sometimes what I struggle with a little bit, is like, I now have to be very, very, very careful with everything that I say, everything I put out, everything that I promote, because with a large social media following comes a huge amount of responsibility.
Mm.
And you have to be so aware of that.
Mm. So what was this whole clean eating Alice? I don't really understand it, but I gathered that people had an issue with the whole clean eating thing.
Yeah, and rightly so. And I think it's important that I'm really honest about that. You know, When I started my Instagram page, I chose it as my handle on the spur of the moment, you know, as you do when you make an Instagram profile when you're at university. It was just like, right, I'm gonna call myself Clean Eating Alice. Then I'd heard it, like the name sort of thrown around. It was at the very infancy of clean eating and I didn't really understand what it was.
What is clean eating?
And this is the thing, and I'll move on to that in a second, but I didn't understand what it was, but to me, in my head, it was like, well, that's everything that I kind of want to do with my diet, which is just eat a little bit more healthily, exercise and have a healthy lifestyle. However, clean eating then evolved to be a big umbrella term for lots of different factions that weren't necessarily in cohesion with each other. So it became an umbrella term for things like veganism. It became an umbrella term for things like cutting out gluten or going dairy free. And none of these things I ever did. I never have ever cut anything out of my diet. I'm not intolerant to anything. All my books have everything in them. You know, I eat everything. And there's nothing that I would ever tell anyone to cut out unless it was for a medically diagnosed reason.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was lumped together with lots of different movements that were in their own way telling people to be very, very restrictive, and I wasn't. And so it wasn't best describing what I did.
Mm.
And obviously throughout that period as well, and as I grew and evolved as a person, as a brand, I developed a lot greater interest in fitness. I became a personal trainer. I started doing all of that as well. And I just felt like it became a very limiting name, and it didn't best describe what I was doing.
Mm.
So it was just sort of, after I'd published my third book, I decided that the best thing for me to do was just to bring everything back to where it all started, which is just me, my name, and to be honest, and just say, look, it was a name that I chose at the time. It worked, but right now it's not best describing who I am or what I believe in. So I'm moving on from it.
What advice would you give to your younger self?
Loads of things. Don't be a sheep. Don't let anyone else determine your self-worth. Like, I went through a horrific abusive relationship that ended up in like court and was awful, with a restraining order and all sorts. It was a terrible, terrible time, and my self-confidence was so unbelievably low at that time because I let someone else tell me or judge my self-worth. And I think from there, that is why I have this like inner fighter now, that I'm just like, I will never let anyone tell me how to be or who to be or what to be, because I was at that like rock bottom at that time. I guess that. And also just to have more fun, because I think I probably was a bit of a goody two-shoes when I was growing up. But yeah, anyway.
So are you proud of yourself, the fact that you have three best-selling books? Is there a fourth? What's next?
No.
Restaurant?
No, I'm not doing a book. I decided that three was quite enough and that...
You're 23.
Yeah.
Three books at 23.
Yeah.
And I have one book. Nearly 30.
But I am proud of myself and I'm okay to say that. I'm really proud of what I've achieved. I've worked really hard to get here, and I'm not going to say or pretend that I haven't. But yeah, I am.
What's the goal for the future? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
I always answer this question the same way because I never know and I don't like to predict.
Uh-huh.
So I always just say, I really, really hope I'm really happy.
Okay.
And I am living a life that I enjoy.
How would you define success?
Happiness.
And with the acting, is that just no longer?
For now, it's on the back burner. Doesn't mean that I'll never go back to it. It was such a passion of mine. I toured the UK with a musical for a year. Like, I enjoyed every single show that I performed of Annie. If I could go back and do it again, I would.
Mm.
But right now, there's loads of other projects that I'm also super, super passionate about that are taking up my time.
Can you talk about any of them?
Not yet.
Coming up that's a bit juicy?
Not yet.
Okay.
Annoyingly. But yeah, there's stuff in the pipeline for sure.
What about failure? Does it exist? Have you ever failed?
Yeah, loads of times.
I think you put something up the other day. It's never a failure, it's always a lesson.
Yeah, it's my favourite saying.
Talk to me.
Just, I have always had, well, since I started Clean Eating Alice, I have this inner positivity that no matter what happens the day before, and actually it was something that my mum said to me when her and my dad have ever argued, she was like, never ever let the sun go down on an argument. Always, always deal with it. You go to bed and you wake up the next day and it's a fresh start and it's a clean sheet. And despite not being in a relationship or whatever, that kind of mentality has always stuck with me, that I don't bear grudges on things. I don't hold on to negativity. I have to wake up the next day and whatever happened, however awful it was, take the next day as, okay, that was shit. How can I learn from it and how can I move forward in a positive way? And so that saying is really, really my mantra, because of course I failed on so many levels, on so many things. You start projects, you never finish them. You know, I said I was going to release a website about a year ago and I still haven't written one word for it because I've just been too busy. And if I spent all my time beating myself up about that, it'd be awful. But sometimes you're just like, it's not a failure. It's just like, okay, website isn't the thing. How can we move forward? What are we going to do? And you just move on. And life should not be, shouldn't be coloured with negativity ever. So, there are people in the world that have far, far, far greater problems than I do. And I do try and just remind myself of that and be grateful for what I've got.
You said it's all about progress and not perfection. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to ask you to talk to me a bit about that.
Yeah, I guess I like that saying as well. I think perfection doesn't exist. It exists in our mind and we think we know what perfection might look like. But actually, 9 times out of 10, you never really get there. Mm. There'll always be something. And so if you can just focus on your journey, on taking each day, on making small steps towards whatever you want to achieve, rather than seeking perfection in everything. You know, I'm not a perfectionist. I am in some aspects, but I'm not in others. And I like the fact that I'm not, because I think it's massively stressful to be a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting. So for me, it's about just taking small steps and making progress rather than looking to have this perfect ending. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever receive negative comments on your Instagram?
Yes.
And just the press in general?
Yeah. Just particularly with the clean eating stuff. I remember literally this time last year, there was a Daily Mail article that I was called out in. It was Deliciously Ella, Madeline Short. It was people listed and I was in there amongst them. And I remember being absolutely, I felt like someone had taken a dagger to my heart and just been like, ugh. And I remember crying my eyes out and just being absolutely mortified because it was so unfair. And it was just, I think because I'm so personal to my brand, attacks are very personal. Mm. It's like they're criticizing me. It's not like I'm behind a business, and if they criticize the business, it's like it falls on deaf ears. It's like that's me. That's my everything. But since then I've become a lot better at dealing with it. And it doesn't happen often. But when it does, it's like you just have to laugh. You just have to be like, do you know what? Cool, that person's clearly. Yeah. And actually, the other thing that I do, which I love to do, which my boyfriend gets a bit annoyed at me for sometimes, because I just love to bite a little bit sometimes, is just kill it with kindness. So if someone writes a negative comment, you just write back, thank you so much for stopping by and giving me your wise words. And they can't say anything back. What can you say? But so that's sometimes a good way of dealing with it.
That is great advice, actually, to be fair. Actually, when I was presenting this kids show, I had someone tweet me once saying that I deserved a punch in the face. And I replied saying, oh my God, I can't wait, when and where?
That was it. Love it. It's
the best thing I've ever done. It felt really great. How does it feel when you're in the shops? I just thought about this. When you're in Sainsbury's and you see yourself on the magazine cover.
God, when I saw it for the first time, I was like, oh my God. And I screamed and whatever. But I don't know. I have this weird thing that I really don't want to be called a celebrity. I don't like being
people, you know, thinking of me as a celebrity, I really want to be like everyone else. Like, I am everyone else. I'm very, very normal. I'm very down to earth. And I know it sounds really like cliche to be like, I don't want to be a celebrity, but I think we put so much, like, we raise people up to be on such a pedestal, and like, those people are really normal people, and actually if we can see them as normal people, having shit days, having days where they don't wear any makeup, having days where they're like on the sofa eating ice cream, I'd much rather follow someone like that where I can see the real them than someone that it just wants to be a celebrity. And because I think that's the other thing, and that's why I try and be like a non-celeb, is that there's now this the rise of people that just want to be famous through social media.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really sad place to be.
Do you not worry that you are going to get really famous and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it? Like, this time next year, when you've hit like 2 million followers, does that concern you, the pressure that will come with just becoming more and more successful?
Not really. Like, I won't change who I am, and I can tell you that now, and I know people have said I won't change, but I haven't till this day, and I don't think I will. To me, that screams of opportunity of reaching more people to give a good message, and that's the only thing that I would say. So it's an exciting opportunity. Yes, of course, I have ambitions to grow what I'm doing. I'll be, you know, a complete liar if I said I didn't want it to grow. But it's not for the reason of me wanting to be a celebrity. It's because to me that's like amazing. How many people can I now encourage to get up on a Sunday morning and work out with me, that like I did this morning in my living room, so that they've done something that day and they feel good because of it.